The reading is from John chapter 13, starting at verse 31, which is on page 105. When he'd gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, again, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we pray that he would come and be our teacher as we look together at this word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, it helps me no end if you can keep our reading open in front of you. It's John chapter 13 and verses 31 to 35. It's the set gospel reading for today, but it is a brilliantly appropriate reading for today, our annual meeting Sunday. And Jesus is giving his disciples one very simple but very hard to do command. And it's there for us in verse 34. The command is simply, love one another. And then just to expand that a bit more, he says, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Now, Jesus' disciples were a very diverse bunch of people, just as we here at St. Stephen's are a very diverse bunch of people from lots of different backgrounds. If you think about it, what we know about the apostles, some of them were fishermen. Some of them were more prosperous than others. We're told that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, for example, left his father in the boat with the hired men, whereas Peter was just throwing his net into the lake, implying that he was just all that he could afford by way of kit was a net, whereas James and John, they'd got a more prosperous, more successful business. Some were quite well connected. We're told in the narratives about the Jesus' betrayal that John could go into the high priest's house right in following Jesus because he knew the high priest, whereas Peter had to hang around in the courtyard. So there are success differences, there are class differences. At least one of them was a member of what we would call the Palestine Liberation Organization, or the first century equivalent of it. We're told he was called Simon the Zealot, meaning that he was just absolutely passionate about the Romans being kicked out and Israel being established again, Palestine being established again as top nation. But another of the 12 had been employed by the Romans, the military power that dominated Israel at the time, as a tax collector, and probably he had cheated his fellow citizens. We're told categorically that the disciples argued with one another, and that they were very competitive. They kept on saying, which one of us is the greatest? Which one of us is the most important? It's that bunch of people who are told to love one another. What would have been easiest for them to do, do you think, in terms of their relationships with one another? The easiest thing, of course, is always to withdraw and spend time with the ones that you have most in common with. And we do that in our church family here. One of the early things that I learned when I was here, when I first arrived a long time ago, people said to me, Africa is a continent. It's not a country. It's a continent, just like Europe is a continent. And just because you happen to be in Africa, you wouldn't want to be accused of being a Spaniard or a Frenchman or a German or a Portuguese. So don't challenge us from Sierra Leone and say that we're the same as people who come from Nigeria or whatever it was. And we recognize that it's easy to sort of fall back into the group of people with whom we have most in common, with whom it's easiest. So our nationality group, our language group, our cultural group, the people who have got similar jobs to us, the people who are the same age group as we are. We all know that it's easy to fall back and look round and find the bunch of people who seem to be most like me, and then we say, we'll spend time with them. And, of course, what we then do is that we politely ignore everybody else. But the question is that how Jesus had loved his disciples? They're told to love one another just as Jesus has loved them. And Jesus didn't withdraw. Jesus didn't stay in his own cultural background. He left all the glory of heaven in order to humble himself, to become a human being obedient even as a slave unto death. So he absolutely let go of what he was used to in order to identify with and love and help the people who were different from him. His example of what it means to love is someone who is totally unselfish, where, of course, you know, withdrawing into our own comfort zone with people that we know that we already like and understand, that's actually quite a selfish action. Jesus was totally unselfish, was totally humble, and came as a servant. He illustrated the general principle that is there in the scriptures, that we are to do to others as we would have them do to us. Jesus served and loved and cared for and was unselfish towards others. We're told in verse 31 of our reading that he was concerned for God's glory. We're told that he's telling them he's about to leave them, and that their world is going to fall apart because of that. But the question is, how are they going to live afterwards? Are they just going to go off and live independently and just get on with their lives? You know, slightly like some of us, I'm not in touch, I'm afraid, with any of the people that I was friends with at university. So 3 years, off you go, good friends with good people, and then you go your separate ways, never see them again. Is that going to be like the disciples? They had 3 years with Jesus, lots of interaction, lots of friendship, and then they can go off and just do their own thing, live independently? No, they're told to love each other as Jesus has loved them. And that's the lesson. This is obviously talking to those disciples that day, but it's talking to us too. Jesus' command to love one another in the same way that Jesus has loved us. Now, it doesn't mean that we go to the cross for each other in terms of Jesus alone is the one who's capable of doing that. Jesus alone was perfect. But the attitude of giving up ourselves in order to serve others, that is absolutely what love looks like. So that it is a willingness to say no to self in order to say yes to others, and to do that across the cultures, across the language barriers, across the class divides, across the age divides, in every way saying, how can I serve you? How can I allow you to serve me? That is what love, in Jesus' way, is going to look like. And what is happening is that it's a love for one another that is so radical that outsiders are going to look in and say, you guys have really got life sassed. You really are. I've never found a community such as the community that I'm finding in this church fellowship. What's the thing that makes the difference? And eventually the outsider looking in will say, the difference is the Lord Jesus. And that's exactly what he's saying will happen. Look at verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So the command to us, as it was to those disciples then, it's an involving letting go of our birth culture. Now, there are lots of good things about being English, and we know the whole debate about that that's going on at the moment. The English, the English, the English are best. I wouldn't give tuppence for all of the rest. It's a completely obvious statement to a good, true-born Englishman, sung for us by Flanders and Swann a long time ago. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then look him up on the internet. Flanders and Swann are good fun. But we have to let go of those things. People who will say, well, actually, the best of all possible is to be Nigerian, or the best of all possible is to be Welsh, or New Zealand, or Chinese, or to come from Mauritius, or from Angola, or whatever else we would say is our birth heritage. Those things are gifts to us from God. But we're to let go of those things in order to serve God by loving one another across the cultural divides. We let go of our birth culture in order to embrace and take hold of kingdom culture. And the more we do that, the more we are intentionally living as Jesus did, intentionally loving as Jesus did, then others will say, this is a place where Jesus is Lord. They will recognize that we are Jesus' disciples. And it will involve an empathy and actually thinking, well, what does it feel like to be somebody else? Actually trying to get into our heads, what does it feel like from their perspective? Having a sympathy with somebody who's older, someone who's less well. Having excitement with somebody who's just passed exams. Having empathy for somebody who's struggling because a relationship they thought might be going somewhere has broken down. It's an understanding and other peopledness first. And then it's a willingness, just as Jesus did, to sacrifice ourselves, not to demand for us, but to serve others. And then it's something which we sustain. We keep going. It isn't just a Sunday morning thing. It is to be a way of life for all of us within the community. So back we come to the verse that Jesus gives. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, it is a very simple command that we think of as being completely obvious. And yet actually it's a very hard thing to do, to love across the divides that our human culture imposes on us. The class divides and the financial divides and the age divides and all the other different divides that separate us from one another. Father, I ask that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to change our attitudes toward Jesus, that we're willing out of love for him to let go our birth culture, to be willing to embrace his culture first in our lives, and then be willing to love and to serve each other. And Father, we ask that we would do so to such an extent that others looking in on St. Stephen's would say, there is something different there, and would come to realize in due course that difference is the Lord Jesus dwelling among us by his Holy Spirit. So Father, help us in this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.